Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another hour of fascinating, profound, heart-expanding, mind-expanding conversations. As always, it's just wonderful to spend this time with you, and I'm so glad you are here on this journey with me. I want to talk about the topic at hand today. We're going to be exploring what it is to be successful in life, particularly what it is to be successful financially as a woman, with one of the leading best-selling authors who has been a guide and an inspiration for women in their financial well-being for many, many, many years. And I am so happy that we're exploring this topic of sacred success, A Course in Financial Miracles, with Barbara Stanny. And I'd just like to share a little bit about Barbara to begin with. So Barbara Stanny's mission is to motivate women to become financially empowered. Her background is business, her years as a journalist, her master's degree in psychology, her extensive research, and her personal experience with money give her a unique perspective and makes her the foremost expert on women's financial issues. She is an accomplished motivational speaker, author, and former career consultant who empowers women and men and helps them to live up to their financial and personal potential. Barbara has been featured on Good Morning America, The View, Extra, The O'Reilly Factor, and many times on CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, Fox News, PBS, and NPR, as well as the New York Times and USA Today. She also travels the country as a popular keynote speaker. And before we get into the conversation with Barbara, I just want to share a quote from her book, Sacred Success, A Course in Financial Miracles. And she says, "More than a financial guide, sacred science is a primer on power for women, a tutorial for taking charge of your life by taking charge of your finances, and not only growing your money for creating a deeper, richer, and more meaningful life." Best described as A Course in Miracles meets The Wall Street Journal, sacred science gives you a proven process that uniquely blends the practical, psychological, and spiritual work of wealth. So if that doesn't intrigue you, I don't know what will. And it's my pleasure to welcome Barbara Stanny to the show. Hello, Barbara.
Cheryl, it's so nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. You are doing such great work. I can tell you from my own personal experience that women, power, and wealth is such a learning journey for so many of us. So I am really looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too.
You've explored this for many years from many angles, from interviewing very successful women, looking how we can, you know, find our real passion, purpose in life. And this latest book, Sacred Success, A Course in Financial Miracles, is part of your evolution. Can you just share with us a little bit about how this book came into being?
Perhaps, can I go back a little farther to say how I got into this in the first place?
Well, let's do that.
Because there is no way when I was in my 20s that I would thought I'd ever be an expert on finances. I grew up in a wealthy family. My father was the R of H&R Block. And the only advice he ever gave me about money was, don't worry. Which I thought was great advice. I didn't understand money. I just wanted to spend it. And I married a man who was a financial advisor and a certified financial planner. But what I found out early in my marriage is that he was a compulsive gambler. And the insane part is I let him continue to manage the money, even though three or four times a year I find out he gambled it all away. I continued to let him manage it for 15 years because that's how terrified I was, intimidated by anything to do with money. And it wasn't until after our divorce I decided money is not my thing. I just don't want to deal with money. Well, I have a theory, Cheryl, that if you don't deal with your money will deal with you. And in the next year, I got tax bills for over $1 million that my ex for back taxes he didn't pay, for illegal deals he got us in. I did not have $1 million. My ex had left the country. I asked my father to lend me money. He said no, and that was the moment. I had three daughters. One was a baby. I was not going to raise those girls on the street. I didn't know how I was going to do it, because I would look at anything financial and my eyes would glaze over and my brain would fog up and I just feel terminally stupid. And then I was a journalist writing for the San Francisco Business Times, and I got hired for a freelance project to interview women who were smart with money. And those interviews changed my life. I not only got smart with my money, and that was, 25 years ago, I not only got smart with my money, but I started doing financial education and coaching for women. So it has been an incredible ride, and I only write about what I want to learn about and what I want to teach. So my latest book, I wrote a book called Prince Charming Isn't Coming, How Women Get Smart About Money, which is about about understanding how to manage your money. Then I wrote a book called Secrets of Six-Figure Women, because I wanted to learn how to make six figures, and I did before I even finished writing the book. Then I wrote my third book called Overcoming Under-Earning, How to Go from Under-Earning to Higher Earnings. And after I wrote Secrets of Six-Figure Women, I made six figures, and I've been making six figures ever since. And I thought, well, I think I want to make millions. And so I started interviewing women who make millions. And what I saw in their stories, that it wasn't so much their financial prowess, they're making this gobs of money. What struck me is how they were doing it so differently than the world, i.e. men, models. That they were playing a very different game. And this is the game I call sacred success. And sacred success is both a practical process and a spiritual journey.
Well, that's quite a story, Barbara, and I think so many women can relate to it, because even though you came from a wealthy family, you still were poor in your understanding of money, of managing money, of deserving money, the whole story. And, you know, it's a common story for so many of us, you know. And
I'm doing a free seminar on wealth building, on wealth in 1 year, starting in January. So it's really about wealth building. Because wealth does not come from what you earn. It comes from what you do with what you earn. And what worries me is a lot of women are in very precarious positions, but a lot of women are married to or have inherited wealth, and they're not keeping an eye on it. They don't understand it.
So let's go back to what's really going on with women. Why, and I see this in my own life, you know, I can be, I have been really successful in my practice, in my career, but money was just this big black box that I hadn't a clue about.
I totally get you.
You know, I find it's true for so many women. What's that about, Barbara? What's happened to us?
My belief, and I realized this when I wrote my first book, Prince Charming, I was interviewing women who were smart about money, that women's difficulties with money has very little to do with money. It has everything to do with our fear of or ambivalence about power. I remember for my first book interviewing a psychologist, and I said, why do you think women are so afraid of their power? And she said, without missing a beat, because powerful women have been burned at the stake. And I think over the millennium, over generations, it's part of our collective unconscious, we have been punished for being financially independent or successful. And so we are coming into this new world paradigm, I believe, where women are being called to step up to the plate and into their power. But I don't believe they understand what power really means. And that's, as you said in the introduction, sacred success certainly it is about creating wealth. but even more, it's about exercising power, understanding power from a feminine perspective, exercising power on your own terms. And my definition of a powerful woman is someone who knows who she is, who knows what she wants, and expresses that in the world unapologetically. And what happens is we women get so scared of speaking up, of becoming the authority in our life, of taking up space, that we water ourselves down because we're afraid to make waves. And there is no better way to water yourself down than by under-earning or mismanaging or neglecting your money.
So there really are several pieces of this puzzle for us as women. We have to look at the psychological wounding that has kept us in a place of being disempowered. So, you know, and addressing those emotional wounds. And then we, you know, have to, I guess, have an interest in our financial well-being, because the most uninteresting topic I can think of is finances and figuring out what it all means, you know,
interpreting that
exactly. Language. It's like I'd rather be out learning about health or something, you know.
Oh, Cheryl, I could make it so fun for you. I could make it so fun. See, this is why I had so much trouble getting my arms around money. This is why my eyes would glaze over and my brain would fog up. This is why I just said the hell with it. And research shows that most women do not get really smart about making or managing their money until they hit a crisis, until they lose a job, lose a spouse, or on the brink of retirement. And that's what happened to me. And, whoa, you don't want to wait till a crisis hits. So what I realized in my own journey to financial success and independence, it's really a three-pronged process. It's the outer work of wealth, the inner work of wealth, and the higher work of wealth. And when I embraced all three, that's when my life changed. That's when everything changed. And, you know, I would do the outer work. I would read books. I would go to classes. I would listen to TV shows. And it was like they were speaking Swahili. I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. So it was when I did the inner work, when I started looking at my attitudes, beliefs, and decisions about myself and money, that I really felt the ground shifting, that I really felt myself opening up and getting past my resistance. And the third is the higher work, which sealed the deal for me. And the higher work is a spiritual aspect, because I believe we were all here purpose. We are here to do God, or however you understand this larger force to be. We are all here to do God's work. But it's not possible to pursue our purpose, to live our life full out, to become all we can be, if our financial life is on shaky ground. Because money needs to be a source of transformation and not a source of distraction. So when I really got the higher work of wealth, when I really was doing the inner work of wealth, those two together motivated me, made me be able to, it's like the veils lifted, and I could suddenly understand.
So,
and what motivated me was not money, because very few women, once we are financially stable, once we have food on the table and a roof over our head, very few women are motivated by money. What motivates us is the opportunity to help others. And that's what I see motivated me and motivates other women, using your money to make a difference in your life, in the life of people you love, and causes you feel passionate about. I mean, it doesn't get more fun than that.
And I totally agree. I think that as women, that is just hardwired into our nature of being the carers and nurturers, and that we want to be of service. It's just part of who we are in our
DNA. Exactly. And if we understand how money can help us be of service, we're likely to be more motivated instead of by a crisis. And really, What I found, it doesn't take a lot of time to get smart. It doesn't take a lot of money to get wealth, to create wealth. It is never, ever too late to start. And it's actually a whole lot of fun once you get past the resistance.
Okay, so why don't you guide us or give us some insight into those three prongs that you talked about? Because they all have to be addressed. We have to explore those three dynamics of the inner and outer and higher aspects of wealth. So can you kind of give us some insight into each of those components? Because I'm sure that this is such a hot topic for so many women listening, and I'm sure men too. And, you know, I want us to have something to bite into so we can actually have some practical guidance to take away with us. And then tell us more about your course that's happening.
Okay, well, first let me tell you about the outer work, the inner work, and the higher work. So the outer work, what I did is I broke it down into three small steps for me. And this is what I teach for the outer work. If you do this for 4 months, 3 months, hell, 1 month, you will be amazed at how much smarter you'll be. Because so much of getting smart or smarter about money is just small steps, teeny baby steps consistently taken. So if every day you read something about money, even if it's just for a minute or two, even if it's just perusing the headlines of the business section of the paper, even if it's just when you're standing in line at the grocery store, you pick up Money Magazine instead of People Magazine. Because so much of getting smart or smarter is just familiarizing yourself with the jargon, with the current trends. So every day, and I still do this, every day I'll just take the Wall Street Journal and I'll put it on the kitchen counter, the financial section, and sometimes I'll just walk by it. Just by osmosis it comes in. So every day read something about money. Every week have a conversation about money, preferably with someone that knows more than you. Mm. I think, especially for women, we'll moan and groan about it. But when's the last time over coffee or over a meal you asked your colleague, your friend, well, how did you get smart about money? Do you invest? What do you invest in? How did you learn? And what advice would you have for me? So because it's our secrecy and silence that keeps us stuck. So every day read and every week talk. And what a lot of women are doing, because they're doing it with my books, is starting financial study groups. So they meet every month with a bunch of them. They read a book. They talk about it, a financial book. And they have a glass of wine and they have a lot of fun.
Can I just jump in here, Barbara,
yes.
And say that when women get together, and I have some really smart friends, money is never a topic. Finance is never a topic. We'll talk about everything else.
Exactly.
But we never talk about
money. Exactly.
And I observe men, because men have a couple of topics they talk about. They talk about sports, they talk about money, and probably talk about sex. But those are the favorite topics. And women do not, I rarely have a conversation with other friends.
Because that's because you don't initiate it, and they're all too scared to initiate it. Mm-hmm. But if you consciously commit to learning about money, and you start talking to people, this is what I did. I go to classes, and if there was a teacher I really liked, I would ask to come to their office and talk to them. Interviewing these women who were smart about money. Oh, my gosh, that was just amazing. That's when I really realized this really made a difference. So what I started doing is just saying to my friends, do you know anything about money? And most of them didn't. So we created like a study group. This is way back. And we just met once a month to talk about different books. And we'd have speakers come and we just learn about money with each other. So this is a consciousness-raising exercise, being conscious of talking about money. Because the first Monday of every month, I have a free call called Monthly Money Monday, which I have hundreds of women on. And we talk about money. They ask me questions. I respond. If anyone in the community on the call has other responses. So we keep that conversation open and start talking about money, because you're right, Cheryl, we don't. So every day read, every week talk, and every month save. Automatically have money taken out of your checking account or your payroll check into a savings account. And when you have enough saved for, say, 8 months of living expenses, you can start investing, which you've been reading about and talking about, and you can do it automatically, a certain amount of money a month. So that's my outer work. Any questions on that?
Well, not really. The question I would have at this moment in time is about investing. Where to?
Great.
At a time of uncertainty and shakiness. So
I would love to talk about that, because I'm going to be giving a year course on that. That is my favorite thing to talk about, is investing. But let me finish the question you asked me before about the inner work and the higher work.
Okay?
And then we will talk about investing. So while you're doing the outer work, what happens is you'll get, if this is new for you, you won't want to talk to others. You won't want to read. You won't want to say, you won't want to do these things. Resistance is a natural part of change. It's not bad. It's not wrong. It's inevitable. And the key to overcome your resistance is the inner work. It's to get out of that money as a black box is the inner work. And that's really exploring what your early memories around money, the messages you got, your beliefs. I'll tell you a story. So when I first started this whole project, I went to a therapist. I went to counseling. And I've been in therapy for a long time. I just never talked to him about money. So I went to this therapist, and I said, Daniel, I really want to learn about money. I really, really do. And he stopped me, and he took a seat in another chair. And he said, I am no longer Daniel. I am now the voice in your head. So you talk to me like you're talking to yourself, and I will answer as the voice in your head. So I looked at him in the next chair, and I said, I really want to learn about money. I really do. I really want to get smart. And he responds to me, no, you don't. And it's like someone took the air out of my balloon. Because I realized there's a part of me that didn't. There was a part of me, as I explored it, that I was afraid that if I became really financially independent, a man wouldn't love me and my parents would abandon me. Now, I'm in my 30s, maybe 40s now. So once I got that, once I could see the blocks, the internal blocks that were keeping me, and there were others for sure, and once I realized what I could do with my money, the higher work of wealth, how I could help others, then getting through that financial maze became a joy, fun. Actually, it was fun to learn. So now, do you have any questions about that process?
No, I actually understand it. I was a psychotherapist for many years, and I really got to investigate myself, and I just saw with so many of my clients, all of those are early wounds that manifested in many areas, and I could really see where we hold ourselves back, or we have these unconscious fears about power and money, and
Exactly. So when people come to my classes, or they come to me for coaching, they think we're going to talk about money, and we do. But my real job is to look what's keeping them, because money's so simple, what's keeping them from becoming, from doing, from learning, from becoming smart, from becoming wealthy. And that's what my background in counseling psychology helps me to do. So you get it. You get it. And one of the things, I would love to train psychologists and coaches, because one of the things is I believe they haven't dealt with their own wounds, their own issues around money. So it's very hard. You can never take another person farther than you have taken yourself.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for them to help other people with their own money issues.
All those great helping professions.
Oh, yeah. All these great helping professions. They're the
so
worst.
Good at helping.
They're good at helping. But really, you need to help yourself first.
That's it.
So you are in a better situation to help others.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So we have to look inside, and we have to look at the limiting and generally the unconscious beliefs about what power. And
yes.
It really is about power, isn't it? Money is just enables us to be out in the world and accomplish and achieve and do things.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
And the process you go through, becoming financially independent, financially successful, it requires you to step into your power by doing what you're scared to do. And if anyone asks me the number one requirement for going to the next level in earnings or in managing money, in creating wealth, the number one requirement is the willingness to be uncomfortable, the willingness to do what you don't think you can do. Because success in anything, I don't care if it's losing weight or making more money, is always found just outside your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I sell these mouse pads, but one of the things on these mouse pads, it says scare yourself every day. And I really do. I really try to do that some days more than others. But every time I get scared, I always think, well, first I go, yikes. But then I go, oh, good. That means I'm on my way to the next level.
And I would imagine it's easier to face those limitations, you know, so we can move on, if we have a certain foundation of stability and security.
There is three levels of financial development. There is survival, there is stability, and there is affluence. Survival is not enough, stability is enough, and affluence is more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I help women go from survival to stability by teaching overcoming under-earning.
Mm-hmm.
And I help them to go from stability to affluence by teaching sacred success and becoming your own Prince Charming. But what I'm working on next is taking women to greater affluence, to really understand investing, because wealth doesn't come from what you earn. It comes from what you do with what you earn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my passion really is.
Well, I think this is a perfect moment for us to take a break. And then when we come back, we can talk more about sacred success. We can talk more about creating affluence. We can talk more about, so many of the interesting points you brought up, Barbara, and really inspire everyone to be open to this world of possibilities, to be open to really being financially successful and dependent wherever they may be in their life at this moment. And that's really the inspiration of your message. It doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what's going on or has gone on. This moment is filled with these amazing possibilities, and that's really, seems to me, from what I've been learning about your work and your message here today, that's what you're really offering women.
Yes.
So, good. Let's do that. So, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We are about to take a break. We've been having this great conversation with Barbara Scanney, who is the author of Sacred Success, A Course in Financial Miracles. You've been listening to What Women Must Know, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and today we are talking with Barbara Scanney, and we're talking about Sacred Success, A Course in Financial Miracles. So if you are really ready to cultivate a relationship with success, money, wealth, and power, then this really is a conversation you need to be listening to. And Barbara, back to our conversation. So we were talking about the outer, inner, and higher work. So what do we need to cover about those three facets, or do you think we have?
I think we've covered them.
Okay.
I think we've covered it, unless there's something you want to go deeper into.
No, I think
you know, there's so many fascinating things that you have been researching and writing about. Let's continue to move on. So
okay.
What else do you think is an important message here for women?
Well, I think I'm going to tell you about Sacred Success. Sacred Success was really hard for me to write. It took me 7 years. Because for me, financial success was not just a practical process, which it was. It was also a spiritual journey. And I really believe that when women understand that there's a deep spiritual aspect to financial freedom, financial savvy, it brings the whole process deeper, richer. It becomes a transformational journey. And when I even created coined a word called metaphysical. Metaphysical, it means when you bring the divine, whoever you understand as a higher power, when you bring the divine into the conversation about the almighty dollar, when you combine faith with finances, it all changes. Suddenly, money takes on a whole different meaning. It's about giving meaning to your life and making a difference in the world. And sacred success, I define sacred success as pursuing your soul's purpose for your own bliss, what makes you happy, and the benefit of others while being richly rewarded. Now, here's the thing. In order to get out of survival to stability, in order to overcome under-earning, you must have a profit motive. It's really important. Profit needs to be a primary goal, which is very hard for some women. But once you reach financial stability, once you have enough to meet your needs, to put food on the table, a roof over your head, the game changes. In sacred success, the primary goal is not profit. It is an intended outcome, for sure. But the primary goal is greatness. And I define greatness using a quote, paraphrasing a quote by Fred Buchner. Greatness is when your deep gladness, doing what you were born to do, meets the world's deep hunger. And that is why we get smart about money. That is why we grow and become more of who we are, so we can achieve greatness.
I like that. That's a great definition.
Thank you. Thank you. And so when I give Sacred Success retreats, and I give a retreat in June and September on either coast, it's a 4-day retreat, and I do not even talk about money until the third day. And I hold up a colander. You know what a colander is? It has all those holes in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, in order to be a good steward of our money, in order to make it and managing it wisely, we have to become a container that can hold this money. And while now most of us are like this colander, where money just whatever comes in goes out. And that's exactly what you were saying about the inner work, about the psychological and emotional aspects of it. And as we learn more about ourselves, we then become, it becomes easier and much more fun to do the outer work and the higher work. Well, that's just the icing on the cake.
And when you talk about higher work, you're talking about really understanding and deepening one's spiritual connection.
Well, here's what I'm talking about. Yes, but here's the way that the financial industry and the way the media has tried to motivate us to become financially responsible is through fear tactics, by all these grim statistics about 7 out of 10 women won't be able to retire because they can't afford to, how 90% of us will be dealing with our finances on our own, all the scary, scary stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But what I Where I believe is that that doesn't motivate a woman. It paralyzes us. So when you can start exploring the higher work, which is the spiritual aspect, which is why you're on this planet, which is what you're here to do, how can you make your mark, leave your legacy? That's the higher work. And that, I believe, is what motivates us. You know, you tell a woman that she can go out and make more money and it'll be very easy and she can do it and no problem. And, you know, she'll smile. Great. Wonderful. I love it. But tell her she can use her money to make a difference. And her eyes will light up like Christmas. And, like, that takes on a whole new meaning. Suddenly, the motivation doesn't come from just money because, like, so what? If you have it, you got it. But to really become wonderful stewards of our money, to grow our money, that's the higher work. That's the motivation. Does that make sense to you?
It does, but it, you know, my Taurian mind goes, well, give me something practical, Barbara.
Well, I did, and I will give it to you again. So this is so interesting. So, Cheryl, how would you feel about getting personal here?
Sure. My audience knows me really well.
Great, great. Well, I don't know you at all. So can I get to know you better?
Sure thing. Go ahead.
So I hear a little aggravation in your voice. Like, oh, yeah, the higher work, that sounds great, but come on, tell me how to do it. Is that true?
Well, it's... I understand what you're saying, and I work with a lot of those principles myself on a daily basis. I do understand that. It's getting greater clarity how to make that leap into, you know, into manifestation.
Okay, so you said something really important. The operative word you used was clarity. And this is really important. In order to have more, we need to understand, be very clear about what we have. So I will give you a few exercises.
Okay.
One of the things I suggest you do, and not maybe you, but who's ever listening, who's looking for practical stuff, and I'm a big believer in practical stuff, start by writing down everything you spend. To get an empty checkbook register or a little notebook, and every day, whether you use check, credit, debit, or cash, you just... When you buy that newspaper, you write down newspaper, put down a dollar. You write down what you bought and how much you spent. Just keep doing that. What will happen as a result of that is you'll get very clear on your relationship with money. Because it's not just what you spend, it's how you feel about it. And it'll give you clarity on your behavior and your habits around money and your thinking. So when then, after a couple weeks of doing that, you put it into categories. You know, like your fixed expenses, utilities, electricity, that's the same thing. And then you put it in, you know, food, like groceries, then eating out, children's clothes, skincare, personal development, put it into categories. And then you'll see where you can start shaving to either pay off debt, to add to your savings, to add to your investing, which you have been, the other steps, reading about, talking about every day, every week. So the idea is to educate yourself and to get clarity. And then I would urge everyone to keep on writing down what they spend because it gives you tremendous clarity around your relationship with money and really what you spend and what you save. And to also be very clear and many people are, but be very clear on what you have. You know, with your spouse, with a financial advisor, with your accountant, get out your latest bank statement, get out your latest credit card statements, get out your investment statements, and make sure you understand them. Get the clarity. And as you go into resistance, you keep doing the inner work. How's that?
No, that's good, and I think I'd probably want to ask, just for the sake of everyone listening, what are some of your favorite ways to do the inner work? What are some of your favorite modalities or What do you advise women so they can start taking this step of clearing?
You want me to do an exercise right now? It's a real quickie that you can do and your listeners can do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try it?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so here's what I want you to do, Cheryl. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you and all of you listening to go back. Take a deep breath. Just let out any tension. And go back in time. Go back to when you were young, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, whenever. And I want to see you to see, what is your earliest memory of money? What is your earliest memory of money? And I'll give you time to get it. And when you have your earliest memory, so if you don't, that's fine, you can do it later. But when you have your earliest memory, I want you to freeze frame it as if it's a snapshot. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me what your earliest memory was.
Well, actually, I don't know if it was the earliest memory, but the memory that came up was I was sent on an errand to get something from the grocery store, and I had a dollar, I think, was change, and I lost it. So I lost this money, and I felt so bad about losing a dollar. It felt horrible.
So, Cheryl, in that moment, when you felt so bad about losing that dollar, you made a decision. You made a decision about money.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think that decision was?
Well, one thought was that, I can't be responsible for money because I lose it. That could be, that's possible.
So what I would suggest is playing with that. Playing with that. Because our relationship with money is very much inherited from our early life. For example, my earliest memory was I was probably about 4 or 5. I was brushing my teeth standing on a step stool. And my mother was standing next to me, and I asked her, how much do you get for allowance? And she looked at me with this face of disgust. I mean, this is my primitive mind remembering that. And I got right there. It's like, you never talk about money. I mean, I just got it so clearly. And that was a decision I make. I don't talk about money. So when I was, for 15 years, when my husband was gambling my money away, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody. Not even my therapist I was seeing. I was in psychoanalyst. I was seeing a psychoanalyst 3 days a week. I didn't tell him. So it's these early decisions that form our behavior with money. And in my books, I have lots and lots of exercise. But just really, another exercise that's easy to do is journaling. Just if you like to journal or just write free writing, automatic writing about money. I love it. I hate it. Write about your early memories about money. Anything you can do to explore the hidden, to go deeper. Certainly, finding a coach or a counselor or a therapist who is wise in the ways of money, who understands financial issues, would be a great place to do it.
And I think that's such an important point for everyone to really understand that if you want to create the outer success, you have to really address the inner aspects of yourself that hold you back. And if you're not getting the outer success, then it obviously is that you have inner issues holding you back.
So what I talk about in Sacred Success is we all know about the law of attraction, right? That means if you think positive, you think only about what you want, you'll get it, right? What you focus on expands, correct?
Well, not really, but anyway.
But that's the law of attraction. But here's the thing.
I understand, except it's not so simple.
Because there's what I call the law of congruence.
Right.
You get not what you ask for. You get what you want. And the reason the inner work is so important, Because I may be saying, I want to make a lot of money. I want to make a lot of money. But if what I really want is to stay safe, to be like everyone else, to be approved of, to be comfortable, then I won't be willing to do what it takes to make more money. So it's really important, just what you said, 100% what you said. You know what you want? You know exactly what you want in life? Look at what you have, because that's exactly what you want.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's the first place you have to begin, is look at what you've got.
Exactly.
Can we talk a little bit about philanthropy?
I love to talk about philanthropy because truly, that's where the power is, and that's where the fun is, and that's exactly why we create affluence.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh, you weren't going to ask me questions. You want me to just talk?
No, I want you to just jump in and
I will jump in and
talk about it, because I know that that ability to give, you know, it's just been Christmas time, and it's where that generous spirit really comes out. And, you know, so, you know, I mean, I loved it. I was giving to the homeless shelter. I was giving to the food bank. I was giving to some of my favorite charities. And it was so good to be able to give. And that is what really just opens our spirit up. Because as you were saying, as women, that's what really motivates us.
But here's my that is what motivates us. But giving without building a firm financial foundation can be really hazardous to our financial future. Because not only do we jeopardize our own security, but we diminish the impact we can make with our money. So I think it's really important to get our own financial house in order. And here's the thing. We don't need to have a lot of money to become a philanthropist. We do not need to. You know, we don't need to be a Melinda Gates or an Oprah Winfrey or a Rockefeller. I think this is why we do what we do, so we can give. But my message, and what I found very powerful for me, is, yeah, dropping money into the little buckets at Christmas or to the little plastic things on the supermarket counter, that's all great. But giving willy-nilly is not nearly as powerful or gives you as much traction or gives you as much bang for your buck as it does to have a really focused giving plan. Like, I think we need to spend as much time thinking about how we want to give based on our values and our interests and our desires, as much time planning our philanthropy as we do our investments.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because I think that's a really new thought for a lot of people. It's a new thought
and
for me.
This is what I learned from interviewing smart, successful women. Because when we understand that our money combined with other people's money can go so much farther in making a difference, that when we're clear on how we want our money to work for us, not just to grow for us, but how we want to use our money to make a difference and focus on that. Like, my money, this is not going to surprise you, but my giving is completely focused on women and children, completely focused, and mostly on women. And so when I get all these solicitations, as I do all the time, when people come and ask me requests for charities, I'm very clear. I know where I'm giving and I know where I'm not, and I don't feel guilty. And I think having that discussion with yourself makes a big difference. And so then when I give, I feel like I'm really making a difference. I can give more to one or two places than I give to a lot. And one of the ways I like to give, which is not tax deductible, is people I know who are having difficulties, who need, I don't know, gas for the car or need a business loan. I love to give money to people like that. And if they pay me back, great. And if they don't, fine. So I never give so much money that I'll lose it. But that makes me feel good. That gives me a great sense of happiness.
So philanthropy is more of having a plan that fits into your values of
yes.
how you want to contribute.
Yes. I mean, there's nothing wrong for putting, you know, the dropping those little dimes in the cartons. But if you really want to use your money powerfully, you'll give it thought. You'll put it in places that give you deep satisfaction and meaning and really make a difference in others.
And ongoing, seeing it as an ongoing a legacy. Would that
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought up philanthropy because many of these interviews people don't. And so I can see that it's important to you.
Well, I think you have to ask, why are we spending so much of our time and energy trying to create money and generate financial wealth? And, you know, you can only have so many clothes in your closet. And there's a point where it's there because you can make a difference in the world. And
exactly.
That's where philanthropy comes in because, you know, as you have been saying, that's where we are fulfilling a greater purpose.
Exactly. And that's why I think all three prongs are important, the outer work, the inner work, and the higher work of wealth. And yes, it's good to have money to spend. Money is not to be hoarded. It is to be spent. It is to bring us pleasure and joy. And part of the pleasure and joy, I know for me and people, women I know, comes from giving.
Absolutely. So let's be sure to mention your website. Let's talk about your monthly calls. You know, how can people learn more about what you're doing, take advantage of some of the events you're offering to the community or to your retreats? Where do they go?
My website, Barbara Stanny, S-T-A-N-N-Y, barbarastanny.com. And it tells you everything that I'm doing, and there's a whole lot of information on there. It starts out with deciding where you are, survival, stability, or affluence, and where you need to go from there. And I also give twice a year in March and in August overcoming under-earning teleclasses. I give twice a year in June and September sacred success retreats. And I am giving a free call on the 21st of January called Wealth in 1 Year in One Small Simple Step a Month. And the first Monday of every month, this is what I encourage people. We've created an amazing community. Get on the call. You can do that through my website. Get on the call the first Monday of every month. And out of that, we have a Facebook group of over 600 people, women, in the Facebook group. We're having this lively, robust conversation about money. So it's been amazing. I've learned a lot.
Well, I love what you're doing because you're creating many vehicles for women to be able to access your information, education, and be supported. And so there are lots of entry levels to get into the conversation. And, you know, that's wonderful. It's what we need.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having me on your program. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's been a delightful conversation, Barbara. I love your work. I love your mission. You know, I love the fact that you are making such a big difference in the world. I love the fact that you've allowed me to reveal more of myself to everyone out there.
And I really admire that you were willing to do that. I love that about you.
Well, I have to say I learned a long time ago that vulnerability is your greatest strength.
Yes.
You know, so thank you for that opportunity. And I really wish you all the greatest success, and may your affluence continue, Barbara. And I'll certainly put the word out so people will know about your class on the 21st and all the other things, so I'll help mention it. And, you know, it's just been an absolute delight and pleasure to have you with us on the show today.
Thank you. It was really fun for me.
Glad to hear that. And to all my listeners, hope you had a really great time today. I'm sure it stimulated a lot of thinking, which is always a good thing. And remember, I'm here every Thursday, so look forward to another conversation next week. And until then, and I just want to thank Barbara Stanny, who has been a wonderful guest. So her book, Sacred Success, A Course in Financial Miracles, is a very profound and enlightening book. I recommend you all get a chance to look at it. Go to her website, barbarastanny.com. That's STANNY.com. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.